Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogoman, and we're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite at a high orbit of 0.0167 feet above sea level. You figure that one out. It's Monday night. It's just after 8 p.m. Eastern on the East Coast of the United States of America. And I'm not alone up here. No, 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 no. Goodbye with a little help from my friends, as that song goes. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. But we just call him Mad Viking.
I never thought anyone would say this, let alone myself. But after seeing what I saw, we want Scrappy. We want Scrappy.
The controversial Velma series on HBO Max.
Oh, God.
After you discussed it last week, I saw the commercial, and I said, oh, this sucks.
I mean,
and I quickly blocked it. And I blocked it on my HBO Max account.
It's like, forget the race swapping. Forget that. They just had any attachment to Scooby-Doo in any way, shape, or form. Just make four different characters. Okay, then we can say it's a Scooby-Doo ripoff, but still, oh God. Oh.
So many things wrong. It's happened before in the past. It was called The Fantastic Snore, which is the last Fantastic Four movie, where the morning it was going to come out, the director went on to Twitter and apologized for whatever he was about to see. It's happened with Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi, where basically he locked himself in a closet-sized room and wrote the script and didn't want any input from anybody. And then Kathleen Kennedy just signed off on it. Great. We know how that went. And then
Ghostbusters 2016.
Ghostbusters 2016. Yeah, okay, that's the third one. And then we have this. It's where they say, pardon my language, fuck the source material. I'm going to take it, turn it upside down, inside out, invert it, and just go with that. I'm going to completely ignore the source material. Whatever the source material says, I'm going to do the complete fucking upside down, inside out opposite of it.
Oh, God.
And look at the clusterfuck we have now.
It's on Rotten Tomatoes. It's 50% on the critics, 6% on the viewers. On IMDb, it's 1.3, which according to them is the lowest rating ever.
Okay, I just want to point this out. That means it's lower than the Triple D Avenger?
Yes.
Wow. I know we're making fun of this movie. We've never seen it yet, but it's just the fact that there's a movie called the Triple D Avenger.
Double D.
Oh, the Double D. No, the Triple D was going to be the sequel.
Yeah. But, oh, God. I mean, let's go to somewhat the neutral area and hit the Shaggy replacement. Norville. You know, once again, we're going to skip the race.
Okay. Let's go. Wait. Let's go with what we know about Shaggy, a.k.a. Norville.
Okay.
Food addict. Mm-hmm. Eats bottomless pit.
Correct.
Loves snacking. He calls it snacking. His idea of snacking is making a 10-foot-high sandwich, which is on 6-foot-long hero bread.
Making
what we call, what's been known as the Dagwood sandwich.
Oh,
he puts that to shame. He makes the Dagwood sandwich look like a finger sandwich. Go on. Okay, now, how does the new Norville stack up?
He's a food snob. He will only eat certain things.
Hubbard. He's not on the seafood diet. You know, he sees food and eats it.
Now, if they were to say that he was a cannibal, you know, people that were diehard Scooby-Doo fans would be going like, well, that was kind of like the next step. But
right. Yeah. What was it, Caliente beans or something like that? Alfalfa beans? So what type of dog, hold on, what type of dog is Scooby in this one?
There is no Scooby. According to internet rumors, though, there will be a Scooby, S-C-O-O-B-I, a woman Norville will be dating. In other words...
What? What? Hold on.
In other words, if you translate it into...
Who created this project? Who created
Mindy
this project?
Kaling. Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, I got... Hold on. Guess what? Mindy Kaling?
You just made the list!
In other words, so, those who are Scooby-Doo fans are going to be going like, let me get this straight. Shaggy and Scooby are going to do the dirty. I don't need that image!
Wait, so Shaggy's going to do Scooby doggy style?
You know, but she's supposed to be a woman. I don't know.
Wait. I got to that again. Wait. So Shaggy's going to do Scooby doggy style?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's a... and that's the only good joke about that.
Fred.
Yes.
Fred, before it started off, he was the leader. Then we get to Mystery
right.
Incorporated. He's more of the driver and really loves his traps.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, but that, you know, it was an interesting turn. We're going like, okay, we can ride with this one. He's still kind of doing the leading for the setting of the traps.
Right. He doesn't he have like a trap kit in the van?
Yes.
Yeah. And he has like, doesn't he have like a subscription to Traps Monthly or something like that? Mm-hmm. I know they really went overboard with it this time.
Now,
oh, I got to say, if you get the chance to, isn't the series on Hulu? Or something, if you haven't seen it, watch it. And you have to watch
HBO
all 52
Max.
Episodes. HBO oh, Max,
oh.
It's on there?
No, oh no.
If it, not Velma. No, Mystery Incorporated. It's I kid you not, it's the best Scooby-Doo series ever. All 52 episodes.
You just
got to
get
order.
Over that first episode when you see Velma
right.
and Shaggy ready to get it on in the Mystery Machine. You got what? Who's it?
Just get past
you
that.
Get over that first one.
watch all 52, and you're going to be like, I want to watch it again. Because there are so many references to sci-fi, horror. There's like Call of Cthulhu references. There's kaiju references. Oh, my God. There's so many references. Like the guys who wrote this is such a – Harlan Ellison is in two of the episodes. Voice acting before he passed away. You know that?
First comment.
You didn't know that?
Mordecai just checked her Twitter account. To her thanking people for watching. First comment is, I'm paralyzed from the waist down. After 20 years in a wheelchair, I finally stood up to turn your show off.
Who said that? Who said that?
It's on his... It's on Mindy Kaling's Twitter account.
Well, I just checked her Twitter account to her thanking people. Oh, first comment.
Yeah,
I'm paralyzed from the waist down. After 20 years in a wheelchair, I finally stood up. Ah, that's great. Oh, shit.
Okay, now,
I want
to thank Fred. Fred is, you know, started off as the leader.
Right.
And then it became the
right, right. We're just going through character references through the years, what he is. But Mystery Incorporated is still the best series. You got to check it out. All right, go ahead.
Now, he's the butt of every joke and trying to mix every stereotypical white joke that has been coming up in the last few years, right down to having a picture of him doing a Hitler salute when it looks like, you know, it could be like, yeah, you know, so taken out of context, I mean.
Yeah.
And it was in several articles, has to point out that he has a tiny member. Do we really need to know this?
Wow.
If Fred is packing or falling short. No, we never needed to know that.
She is really, I don't know what her problem is.
All right, Daffy started off the traditional damsel in distress, then changed to badass. And with the recent one where they had Velma become, I'm going to say now more in question after, you know, seeing some the stuff here, because the woman that she fell in love with turned out to be the villain. So I think that was just a case of, you know, the first time it got lost in it. but now Daphne's the leader. And Fred is fine with that. So it was like, okay, you know, that was a good transition. That started off from the live movies and went from there. And if you want to go with the cartoon, then you go with the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Now she's a drug user, a drug pusher, and her parents are cops.
Well, you know why? Who? Daphne. Well, you know why? Because she's a white girl, and Mindy's got to make the white people look horrible.
No, she's not white. No? Not in the Velma.
No?
She's Asian.
Oh, geez.
And like I said, I'm trying to avoid the race thing so we don't hear, oh, yeah, it's racist. No, I'm going from the character that we know to the character that came up here.
Jesus.
Velma. Finally, we get to Velma. The brains. The deducer. The one that has all the answers. Okay, has a tendency to lose her glasses. But overall, you know... Mordecai, who has to make Daphne Asian? I'm half Asian. I find it twice stupid. and now Velma has hallucinations, a superiority complex. Basically, a whole lot of people say this is Mindy Kaling putting herself in the show. It's like, forget it's Velma. No, this is Mindy Kaling, top to bottom.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's no Scooby. And the stuff that I saw, clips, just clips on YouTube, I'm going like, there's going to be a building progressive petition, demand, chant to bring back Scrappy. When you want people who are fans of Scooby-Doo to want
to
Scrappy,
bring the most hated character, there are going to be boycotts of this show. You know that.
And like I said, you know, it's straight across the board. Now, I pointed out the views of someone who's grown up with Scooby-Doo all the way back to the originals. You know, we're talking Frank Welker. We are talking Casey Kasem. What's her name? June Foray. And I can't remember
the original.
The other
right, the original cast. The original cast. Right, the original.
Right.
From the 60s.
And then,
from
yeah,
the 60s.
And then you went through to the live when you get Matt Lillard. You get the...
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Sarah Cell Gellar. I can't think of her name. The girl from Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
Linda Carbonetti.
She was...
Carbonetti.
Yes.
And people was going, okay, the movie wasn't so great, but they kept...
It wasn't bad. Right. They kept it faithful. They were true to the original, you know.
Mm-hmm. Then you went through the painful pup named Scooby-Doo. That was painful, but
yes.
Again, they kept faithful. Then you get to Mystery Incorporated, damn. Then you get the getting the changes here and there. Scoob, you know, the CGI version.
Right.
And then,
yep.
And then you get the lesbian Velma. Again, though, still keeping with faithfulness to the, every character. You know,
that didn't surprise me. She was lesbian. That really didn't surprise me.
Well, Mindy Cohen kind of put a kinks into that one during the Mystery Incorporated.
Right.
I mean, we came from woman who's always into science to freak. Again,
right,
that
right, right.
First episode, you have to see it to understand what I'm saying.
Right, right, right.
And then we get to Velma. Now, that, like I said, that's of a Scooby-Doo fan. Those who are on the right, you know, of the political spectrum, because they are adding it, let's be honest amongst ourselves, they're saying this is another woke experiment. But the people on the left are also hating it because they think this was written by right-wing writers trying to act like left-wing writers.
Wait. Which show? The new one?
Velma.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I mean, if there's one thing you got to give credit where credit is due, Mindy Kaling's owning up. She's going like, yeah, I wrote this. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, of course she is, because she wrote it. It's all her, all over it.
But, oh, my God. It was just so painful to watch.
Hold on.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm looking up Mystery Incorporated to see where you can watch it. There's 53 episodes. I'm sorry. 53. Because I thought there was 26 and 26 to make it perfect, you know.
But, oh, my God. Okay, so, in other words, this show has done the impossible. It has united. I love the phrase that I keep hearing all the time, and it doesn't matter who you watch or hear or read. They had united the internet. That this sucks.
Quite so.
You know, now you have the urge to watch Ghostbusters 2016 going, like, you know what? Maybe it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's bad, but... Now it may turn it. Now 2016 Ghostbusters may become a cult classic. You know, it's that bad, it's good. And I have mentioned that before, that that could happen. This would be the trigger for it, but yes. But I am just now waiting for people to chant, "We want Scrappy."
On a whim. I'm on Internet Movie Database, obviously.
Yep.
Shall I go to some of the featured reviews?
Okay, let's hear some of this stuff.
Okay, let's go. First one, 1 out of 10. Worse than people say. I heard how bad this was, so I had to see for myself. I was expecting to be laughing at how atrocious it was, but... it's not even bad enough to laugh at, like some terrible shows and movies. This was just so bad, it was hard to believe what I was watching. My mouth was open in astonishment at how revolting it was. How the hell did this get made? It's abysmal on every level. It's not even a train wreck. A train is on its way performing its duty before it crashes. This train never left the construction yard. Shame the idea did. The jokes aren't funny. It's not cool. It's not hip. It's the opposite. It's majorly offensive. Offensive for two reasons. One, for how terrible it is. And it is really bottom of the barrel terrible. And two, for its obvious sexism and racism. What an absolute insult, really, to anyone with half a shred of respectability. I'm just staggered that this even exists. And to have it based on a children's decades-long love series is just mind-blowing. It's wrong. Shame on the execs who passed this giant steaming turd. Every single person involved with greenlighting and creating this quote-unquote show deserves to never work again. One of the worst programs ever made, without exaggeration. Okay, hold on.
I mean, Scooby-Doo's like 55 years old, estimated. All
right,
so, right. You know, or nine.
Hold on, there's
dog,
more.
Or nine dog years.
That's right. Hold on. Ready? Here's the second one.
Eight dog years.
Hold on. Should be on a top 10 worst TV shows of all time list. Again, atrocious. This was atrocious. I watched the entire first episode and did not laugh once. Not even a chuckle. The jokes were so juvenile, so heavy-handed, and the premise so far removed from the original IP, it was embarrassing. I was checking my watch throughout the episode. They made 27 minutes feel like an hour. Will she ever find her mom? I do not know, nor do I care. Why is this series about sex, and what does any of the random sexual situations have to do with Scooby-Doo? I also don't know nor care. Speaking of which, where's Scooby and Shaggy? Shouldn't they be part of this too? If the one kid is supposed to be Shaggy, I only assume because of his clothes. Then, I would like nothing to do with this alternate universe version of Scooby-Doo. Personally, I feel like HBO and Mindy Kaling owe everyone an apology for this abomination of a series. Zero origin stories out of five. All right. Next one, quote-unquote comedy tag needs to be removed. They need to remove the comedy tag. Seriously, in no way, shape, or form could this be considered a comedy. Imagine taking a kid show and turning it into a disgusting college frat house drama where everyone is a bully and vomiting for laughs. This might be the most hate-filled reinterpretation of a cartoon I've ever seen. The people who created the show obviously have an agenda here. And are they really going for 100% rage views? Is destroying an established franchise going to get them into some secret Hollywood club? Do the creators have some kind of personal vendetta against Scooby-Doo from their childhood? I really don't get it.
I got to bring this one up here. This is how bad it is. Voice actor Gray Delisle. She was in the Mystery Incorporated series and a few of the movies. Her Twitter just says, "Jeepers, Velma Dinkley,"
right.
And showing that, Velma has the lowest score on IMDb ever.
Yes. Okay, hold on. I can beat that. Here's the 1 out of 10. Zoinks. I'll preface this review by saying, I have no problems with adult humor or with a family-friendly franchise being reimagined to include such, nor am I outraged by the diverse casting. I approach Velma with an open mind. And it's just not good. Like another HBO Max show, Harley Quinn, Velma is full of edgy and fourth wall-breaking humor. Unlike that show, Velma seemingly holds nothing but contempt for its source material. Not one character behaves anything like you'd expect, and none of them are enjoyable to watch. Daphne is vapid and mean. Fred is a rich douchebag, and Shaggy is a bore. Velma herself comes across as Mindy Kaling's self-insert Scooby-Doo fanfic character. She is the coolest, smartest, and funniest person in the room at any given time, and multiple characters want to have sex with her. Everyone else is a loser. It's more sad than it is funny. Oh, here we go. Yep. 1 out of 10. Again, these are all 1 out of 10s, by the way. You can tell the creators think it's hysterical. This show, all capital letters on this next word, hates its audience. It should not have been named Velma. Even the dubbing is odd. Glenn Howerton basically plays Dennis from IASIP, as usual, but in Fred's body. Daphne is crass, mean, and vulgar. And Velma is Mindy Kaling. I don't understand why this is what we get when attempting something adult with the Scooby-Doo IP. No one asked for this. The hate is warranted. It's an acceptable, albeit unfunny, animation show that thinks it's a lot better than it is. This was my main issue with the first two episodes. You could tell the writer's room was comprised of mostly yes people who thought every idea was edgy and current. Instead, the finished product resulted in a convoluted, mean-spirited, and just all-around embarrassing start. I'll do two more because, all right. All right, this next one has spoilers. Should I read it?
If you want to.
Is anybody actually going to watch the show? If
yeah, that's the big question. Is anyone actually going to watch this before he reads this?
Okay. The title is, well, it's absolute trash. Velma says that Fred has a weird sex fan. What are you talking about? But the cockroaches in the school were having sex? Why is everybody naked? I guess this show is for adults. Only? I don't think kids should be watching this show. I thought Scooby-Doo was a kid-friendly franchise. Velma and Daphne don't look or act the way I remember them in the animated episodes when I was a kid. A change like that makes them unrecognizable. Wait, the police women want Velma's help to solve the mystery of who killed the girl? What? Why? Wow, Fred sounds like a really dumb and ignorant character. Self-absorbed and egomaniac. Either way, I really don't give a shit. He's egomaniacal. An egomaniac. I don't remember him being this way. Velma sounds very rude all the time. Well, that's Mindy for you. Unkind and bad-tempered. It's sad. Wait, why did Velma's dad's girlfriend get naked and started taking pictures for social media or something? What is going on? At the funeral, they sing a song with lyrics about sex? That's so wrong. Who thought this would be funny? Velma says she experiences hallucinations. Does she suffer from schizophrenia? Who's Norval? Why is he dressed like Shaggy? Where is Shaggy? What is going on? Also, no Scooby? That sucks. Velma eats food from the trash bin? Wait, did Fred just cut off a guy's leg and everybody acts like nothing happened? Wow. Just finished the episode. What can I say? It's like they kept most of the characters' names, but doesn't feel like a Scooby-Doo show. Really bad writing, awful humor, annoying superficial characters, and nonstop use of nonsensical stereotypes. I won't watch it in any other episodes. One was enough for me. My rating is 1 out of 10. If I could give it a 0, I would. Don't waste your time, people.
That reminds me, are you being served? They were going on a vacation, and it was one of those group things. And going to this one-star hotel, and then one of them goes, how is a one-star hotel? Let me put it to you this way. There is no such thing as a zero-star hotel.
That's good. Okay, this last one, and then we'll move on.
All right.
1 out of 10 again. A rare occasion when the rating is accurate. When you see reviews about a TV show, usually there are two extremes. One side loves the show for its biases, and the other hates it. This is a rare occasion where the general audience's opinion comes together, and the majority is united in agreeing that this show is truly the lowest tier in almost every way possible. Poorly written dialogues, inconsistent animation, and some of the saddest attempts at humor since Transylvania, which I never heard of or saw. The show was only capable of satisfying a tiny group of people, which consists of the writers and kids with an underdeveloped sense of life that is solely based on social media. The show proves that we truly do need a 0 rating in IMDb, a new low in modern media. Well, there you go, folks. Somebody gave it a 2 with the title, Who Was This Made For? I'm just reading the titles now of these reviews. Pure unadulterated garbage, an awful attempt at making a Harley Quinn-type show. I've seen the best and the worst of Scooby-Doo, and this is easily the worst. Oh, Velma has finally solved her mystery case. Oh, it's the best Velma show in 2023 history.
What?
It's what we want. Oh. Well, it's the only Velma show in 2023 history. Come on. It's also the worst Velma show in 2023 history. Somebody gave it a 6 out of 10.
Why?
They said it's not bad. It's not good. It's not bad, but it's not good either. So why give it a 6? But think about it. With that six, but think about it. With that six, though, it's still got a 1.2, 1.3.
Yeah.
Wait. Here you go. I got to read this. I got to know. This one's for you. Ready? Oh. Ready? The worst thing happened to Scooby-Doo since Scrappy. All right. The series, one of the worst things I have ever seen in my life. I literally prefer to be blind and deaf than to have to watch and see this big pile of horse crap. I cannot believe that they ruined HBO Max and they canceled several good productions like Looney Tunes, Bye Bye Bunny, and the Porky and Daffy sci-fi comedy film that could have been masterpieces. Wonderful shows like Close Enough that was really enjoyable, or Infinity Train. Some potential good shows won't probably be released anytime soon, if at all. I'm talking about series like the Flintstones sequel named Bedrock, Tuned Out, or Tiny Toons Looniversity. All these good series being canceled for this garbage? Seriously? The characters have nothing to do with the original characters from the Scooby-Doo franchise, and the series is horrible. Lame characters, stupid plot, and no humor. This crap is even worse than the Scrappy-Doo era cartoons. When Scrappy-Doo, one of the worst cartoon characters ever made, slowly replaced Daphne, Velma, and Fred from the Scooby-Doo series. Why they had to ruin HBO Max like that? The streaming platform could have had a lot of animated gems right now, but they ruined everything. Good job, HBO Max. I think I will cancel my subscription pretty soon.
Morticus goes, gonna need more than the Scooby Gang to solve the mystery of all these Velma murders. Yeah, you need to bring Scooby Dumb, Scooby D, Blue Falcon, Dino-Mutt, Captain Caveman.
And what were they, Captain Caveman, what, the Angels? What were the names of the three girls?
The Teen Angels,
that's right.
And every star that was in the original and the new Scooby-Doo movies.
And the Wacky Racers.
Yes, okay, we'll bring in the Wacky Racers.
Because they got to race around town and find all the clues and figure out what the hell's going on around here.
I mean, let me give you an idea. I did see the one where, they have Velma showing lesbian interest here. They actually put a Don Knotts reference in that movie. There is a Don Knotts reference. The character looks like the Don Knotts. I forget.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to take a look at it. You will see. It's the Don Knotts from the Scooby-Doo movies.
That's a Scoob, right? The new one, the CGI one?
No. This is the one where Velma has lesbian ideas.
The live action one?
No. Cartoon.
Which movie were we talking about? Which one?
It's the other one that was getting flack because, all of a sudden Velma's now a lesbian. Yeah, bring in Jabberjaw. Bring in Jabberjaw.
Yeah, that's right. Bring in Jabberjaw. Well, he's in the Wacky Racers. See, I included everybody.
No. He was in the space
Jabberjaw's
race.
Jabberjaw's not one of the Wacky Racers?
No, he's
oh,
one
the
of
space
the space
race.
Race.
Okay, the Wacky Space Race. Bring in the Wacky Racers. Bring in the Space Racers. Bring them all in. Bring in all the racers.
Oh, my God. So, long story short, too late.
Yeah. 30 minutes late, but, it's all right.
No. One more time. Can we have you speak your piece, Chris Jericho?
Let's see. Hold on. He was sitting there. He was still reading things. Yes, and Chris Jericho, to Mindy Kaling, and everybody who worked on the Velma series.
You just made the list.
Bring in Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah, that's right. Bringing them all in, and Josie and Pussycats in space.
Yeah, bring in series. We need Gleep. Yeah, bring Gleep.
Oh, George Mosley says, bring in the Yogi Yahoo's, the really rotten, the Scooby Doobies. Actually, George Mosley is safe. He goes, my glasses. I can't see Velma without my glasses or without HBO Max. You're lucky.
Scooby-Doo.
I have HBO Max.
Oh, Animal Olympics.
The Animal Olympiads. Yes, bring that. Bring all the Animal Olympic athletes. Bring everybody.
Oh,
I can't believe
that's
going.
Talk about if they ever wanted to do a movie review and have Snagglepuss. This is horrible. Lousy, then. You are so right. I can't believe I just watched this.
Wow. I can't believe I almost forgot what I wanted to talk about tonight. My little, my short thing of history. Well, as you know, this is obviously, you know, because it's current. My thing is history.
Okay.
if you know what happened today in history.
Oh, geez. Many things.
Yeah, it was many years ago. Yeah. Think of today's date.
Oh, no. Oh, let's avoid that one.
What am I talking about?
Does it have to do with the Supreme Court?
No.
Okay, good.
Not at all. No. But what's today's date?
January the 23rd.
Okay.
You're going to have to fill me in on that one now.
We're going to go back a couple of decades.
Keep going.
What? Think about it. January 23rd.
Something premiered.
Kind of, sort of.
All right, let's go.
Go back just shy of 40 years.
All right, I'm a blank. That one broke my brain.
All right, just go January 23rd, 1984.
I'm still a blank. You're going to have to... Bring it
all right. We're going January 23rd, 1984. We're going New York City. We're going January 23rd, 1984.
Oh, the Giants.
New York City. Nope, not the Giants.
Buffalo Sabres became the first team in NHL history with 10 straight road games.
Don't look it up. You look it up.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to look it up. You're supposed to guess.
I already guessed and I failed. So
January 23rd, 1984. I was going to say my next clue is going to be Madison Square Garden.
Hulk
39
Hogan
years ago tonight. Iron Sheik. Yep. He's the first one. He replaces Bob Backlund. Bob Backlund was supposed to get his rematch. But he was seriously hurt. So it wasn't a last second thing. It was weeks before they replaced Vince McMahon Jr. replaces him with an up and coming Hulk Hogan. The whole world tuned in, or as many people could, to the MSG network. Tuned in to watch Hulk Hogan be the first person to break out of the camel clutch, hit him with his atomic leg drop, pins the Iron Sheik, becomes the new world champion. Hulkamania is born that night, and pro wrestling skyrockets the popularity.
In other words, everyone's going to be watching 30... Raw now.
Well, what's funny, it's a 30th anniversary tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's funny is to kick off the show, Hulk Hogan was on unannounced. I had it on before.
Back went for president.
That's right. And what's funny is everybody made a big deal about Hulk Hogan's 4-year run, because at that point it was on TV. They made the matches bigger than life. Backlund had the title for 6 years. But every time he won the title, every time he won, it was like, oh, my God.
All right. Well, we do have one other thing, and that's updates.
But what's funny is I wanted to play the song. What's funny is back then, before they had the wrestling album, and back when they had to pay when they were paying royalties for songs, do you remember the song he came out to?
Eye of the Tiger.
just made a little bit of it. Because what's funny is that night he came out with a flimsy T-shirt, and he had made at a T-shirt shop, and it had American Made on it. And the reason he came out to Eye of the Tiger, what gave him his big popularity, he was Thunderlips in Rocky 3 months earlier.
Correct.
What's funny is Vince McMahon Sr. didn't want to hire him because he didn't want the big movie star wrestler. Vince McMahon Jr., his son, bought the company from dad, decided what's going to put our company over the top. I want the big movie star wrestler as our champion. And lo and behold, AWA felt the same way, because months earlier he was wrestling in AWA, had a title shot. They decided he would win by disqualification, not get the title. He left AWA, came to WWE or WWF at the time. And imagine if the AWA decided to make him the champion. And I've discussed that with people. Like, imagine that, how different history would be. But he came out to this song for months. And it's funny because he had that iconic walk down the hallway for the title match. And the royalties they paid.
Survivor did not have to make any more songs for a while.
Nope. And what's funny is because he was called the Incredible Hulk Hogan, they paid royalties to Marvel for that.
Yep.
To be the Incredible Hulk Hogan. Until he just became Hulk. And then he said, you know, I think we could just drop the Incredible and just call him Hulk Hogan. Also, back then, because Hogan's like an Irish name, he wanted him to be a brawling Irish champion. He wanted him to dye his hair red. Seriously, McMahon wanted him to dye his hair red. And he fought with him on that. He goes, all right, you keep the blonde hair. So... What happened?
What?
All right, that's enough of that.
All right.
It was weird. On my end, it just froze. All right, we got an update, and we got a drinking game, possibly.
Yep. It's Ship of Heroes, and we all know what happens when Ship of Heroes comes around. It's the Ship of Heroes drinking game. Anytime there is a grammatical error, you will hear this sound. What? Oh, you relaxed. And you got to take a drink.
Right.
I think we have caused many alcohol poisonings a few times. Here we go.
That's right. But before we start, everybody, hold on. Jump. And COH.
Okay.
Do something.
There we go. All right. Okay. Here we go. The 2022 in review of Ship of Heroes.
Oh, good. This is going to be good.
A happy new year to all our supporters. Here's a recap of the very fruitful 2022 and a preview of what to look forward to in 2023. 2022 started on a high note with the 2021 Indie MMORPG of the Year Award from Massively Overpowered. Best Indie MMORPG. We at Heroic Games spent most of 22 writing, building, testing, and polishing new missions. In the process, we added new maps, new enemy groups, and even new game mechanics. Some new and some very cool maps await our players at launch. You'll find story mission arcs like this Iris arc. Like the Iris arc, and not this. The. Challenge missions, task force, and massive raids. And for those worried about being limited by the confines of a 20-mile-long ship, fear not. There will be no cabin fever. The game is really shaping up. In the spring... Oh, wait. I should point out something. Fear not. Hyphen! There will be no cabin fever.
Drink! Drink!
In the spring, we added a brand new feature, a player housing system full of fun options and props. Hundreds participated in the two-player housing betas in May and July 2022. As always, they were open to the public, and we received an enormous amount of positive and helpful feedback that we used to upgrade the system between the two betas. Housing is now very close to launch. Hi, Finn, ready.
Yeah, this guy loves to put hyphens in where it's not needed.
And when the game launches, players will be able to get housing right from level one, even multiple homes for each character. The options for costumes of the character creators newly doubled, including many civilian items that used to be NPC only. In addition, we responded to player feedback and created 114 preset faces for those who want to grab a particular look and then jump quickly into the game. Each of these faces are completely changeable, just like the original starting faces. After the housing betas, we turned our sights to several quality of life improvements. The key binding system was rebuilt, fixing some control issues. Countless items have been fine-tuned, including some animations. Mouse oversensitivity was corrected. Gamepad controls were extended. NPCs are being upgraded. This project is ongoing. We have so many. 2022 was also a very good year for Heroic Games internally. Three artists joined the missions creation team, two are full-time, and one's a highly talented 3D art student. That was me. We also upgraded the sophisticated tools that we, the devs, used to create missions and analyze player metrics from tests. This helped us efficiently create missions while taking into account the experiences of beta players. Currently planned to launch at the end of 2023. Now remember, a while back ago, it was supposed to be the last quarter. Now it's dead at the end. While we have not published it yet, our Steam store page is in development, and we expect to make it public in the first half of 2023.
Mm.
The sort of infrastructure takes a surprising amount of time and effort to get right, and it's the first thing that many new players will see. In the first quarter, we'll be putting up registration for beta hyphen testing under an NDA. Bogo, you remember NDAs.
So that means if you try this, you can't even talk about it.
Right. If you're interested, keep an eye out for it and let us know what you think of the forums and in the polls. We rely heavily on your feedback and your... Mm-hmm.
The NDA. That's funny. Not funny, ha-ha. Funny,
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
Rely heavily on your feedback and your opinions matters to us. If you ever thought to yourself, I wish there was some new MMORPGs to try, something different, fun, and positive, something cool and exciting, then we're your game. We're a small indie team, but we're making steady progress, and we think we're on the track to launch by the end of the year. Thank you for your support, and we wish you a happy new year. All right, so there was no alcohol poisoning, but someone's got a very good buzz.
That's right. I see.
And jump.
Oh. Fine. All right. So joining us tonight, we should do roll call. Joining us tonight over in COH side on the steps of City Hall in beautiful downtown Alice Park on the Excelsior server, myself, Mad Viking, and my psychic, Fogo Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Champions Online. We're hanging out once again in the WCOC studios. Myself, Mad Viking, and of course we have Silvery Grit standing on top of a camera, directing as usual. Mordicus and Alan and the Teddysons. Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom, and where's that at? Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom.
Alan, Clarence, Mr. Nom Nom. Yeah, you got it right.
Right. I got it right. And I have, in the background, I have the Raw 30th anniversary, or Raw is Triple X. That's such a great logo. On, he's here! I have the wrong costume on. Wait, I knew I was gonna wear a different costume tonight. That's the costume I wanted on tonight. There we are. Right there.
Okay. You see there you here.
But of course he cut. But of course they play his music. They do the thing with the lights, and he comes out as the American Badass.
Well, I think they lost the rights to Roland or American Badass.
I don't know. I don't know. I had the lights. I had the sound off. So.
Ah.
No, they played it. They switched it. They're playing it.
Is it Badass or Roland?
I can't tell.
But do you see people moving their arms?
The music
arm
stopped.
Left and right?
I'll have to watch it later. The music stopped. There's LA Knight's in the ring, and he's outside the ring. He started yelling, so.
Oh, so LA Knight's going to take the big bump.
Yeah.
He must be looking good then, if he's going to get chokeslammed by the Undertaker. He's looking good then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he was calling out Bray Wyatt, so. Wait, I'll want to watch it later, so.
All right.
Well, I know the Bella Twins were supposed to be there, but then on SmackDown they quickly took them off the list.
So you just left the list.
Right. Well, no. What I meant was they already had a list of people. They said Undertaker was going to be there. They didn't say Hulk Hogan was going to be there, and he started the show off tonight. So. But I was thinking about that. I'm like, today is the 39th anniversary of when he won his first world title. I'm like, why wouldn't he be on Raw tonight? That would be so weird.
Did he screw up? Now we got. How are we going? Like, all right, did he screw up the location again?
I don't know. I got to listen to it later. I leave the volume off when we're doing this show. I leave the volume off.
I will not be surprised here. You know, if he gets to the point where we're here in Madison Square Garden in New Jersey, New York, you idiot.
LA Knight has left the ring and he's walking towards the back, but he's taking his sweet ass time. Okay, so now the lights have gone out. This is what I'm waiting for. All right, so now the lights have gone out. He's like, oh shit, what's going on? So I'm waiting for either Kane to come out or Bray Wyatt to come out and throw him in the ring for the Taker. His lantern. So Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but it's like to get chokeslammed by the Undertaker in his retirement years is like Weird Al Yankovic parodying your song. It's a code, a badge of honor.
Right. Nowadays, yeah. That's like when Pat McAfee, he got stunned by Stone Cold at the WrestleMania match. He goes, I got stunned by Stone Cold with a beer. That was the best. I goes, are you kidding me? I won my match, and then afterwards I had a beer with Stone Cold, and he stunned me. That was friggin' awesome.
Well, it's that time. Just make sure the bringers of the book didn't watch Velma.
Yeah. Uh-oh. They're carrying the tome from the tomb, and there's one with his head down. Oh, good Lord. You're being so dramatic. You float. He's got blind man sunglass on with a cane. You watch half an episode, and this is what happened? Go away. You won compensation. I told you not to watch the show. Didn't I tell you to block it? I didn't tell you to watch it. I just said hit the block button. You did it before I said that. Oh, you're pathetic. Go. Just shoot. Oh, wait a minute. It's Bray Wyatt in the ring with the Taker.
Oh. A passing of the torch.
No. I don't know what's going to happen. They're just staring each other down.
If he points to a WrestleMania sign,
wait, no. Taker whispered something to Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt nodded. And Taker just left. He's getting on his bike and he's leaving. All right, did I miss something? Like when I grabbed the book, did I miss a chokeslam?
Obviously. Well,
what?
Yeah.
What?
That's what it is, YouTube. Anyway.
Well, no, I taped
it. Let's get to it.
Recording.
Let's jump.
Just a moment. Bray's looking back at the Taker as Taker's trying to leave. There goes Taker. He's stopping. We see his back. He's getting ready to lift his arm. The trademark arm raise. He looks back over his shoulder. And arm raise. Okay.
There it is.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. All right. So, from the annals of history, there have been many, many, many supervillains. The Red Skull, Dr. Doom, Thanos, Darkseid, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, Magneto, Velma, Mandy Kaling, because, you know, she's got to be evil to make that damn series. Let's just cut to the chase here, and let's be honest. If your arch nemesis is in this book, either you're not doing it right or you need a new arch nemesis. Because in this book, in this tome from the tomb, are oddball criminals from comic book history. I speak of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. Yes. Okay. First up tonight is from the Golden Age. He is an enemy of Dr. Blitzman. He's been created by Reinsberg and Bernie Weist. He debuted in Colossus Comics number 1. Sun Publications, 1940. Wow. His Earth shirt size is XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXL.
He's a big boy.
He quite, say the least, yes. His quote, I am the mightiest man in the whole universe. I speak of none other than Colossus AD 2640.
I was kind of waiting for you to say Mighty Man, but okay.
Yeah, I know, right? No, these are the villains. Mighty Man
okay.
is a hero. Few supervillains have starred in their own title, and fewer still did so in their first appearance. But the Colossus, or more specifically, Colossus AD 2640 debuted against the background of a garish lemon yellow comic cover, crushing rocket ships as fancifully dressed soldiers fainted and ran at the sight of him. Whatever else you might say about him, Colossus knew how to make an entrance. But first, we learn that the world of the far-flung future has its problems, namely, alien invasion is imminent. Plant aliens, declares one witness, his eye pressed to a gigantic, brightly colored telescope, invading the solar system again after 60 years. Key phrase, again after 60 years. Meanwhile, one Dr. Blitzman is unveiling his latest discovery, illegal steroids. Blitzman explains to strapping He-Man, Bryn Hale, and, more important, his hunched, apish assistant, Richard Zenith, that he's created a glandular formula that controls human growth. A tiny injection, he says, will turn Zenith into the tall, athletic type he's always wanted to be, like our colleague, Bryn Hale. To save time, he injects Zenith before he finishes explaining the drug's effects. Quite an ego boost for Hale, but a boost of a different sort for Zenith. Suddenly, the doctor's daughter, Eve, rushes into the room. Instead of using 2/100th parts of the catalyst, she put 200 parts into the formula. Soon, the former lackey stands over 2,000 feet tall, with his new power quite literally going to his massive head. He announces, "Zenith is now Colossus, ruler of all the earth." The giant declares himself God over puny mankind, and after abducting Eve, and zipping her in his inexplicably enlarged shirt pocket, sets about wrecking nearby cities. Now, I just want to say this. Everybody knew in 1940, when you grew to 2,000 feet tall, your clothes just grew with you. it was just a standard. Everybody knew that. Come on.
Those unstable molecules.
That's right. They affected your clothes, too, for some reason. Okay. He sets about wrecking nearby cities. He shrugs off rocket attacks and blinks away laser blasts aimed directly at his eyes. He seems unstoppable. And then the plant aliens finally arrive. Remember them? I mentioned them a few minutes ago. They attacked 60 years earlier. Blasted plant aliens, Colossus roars. Try to take over my property, will you? The plant alien ship crashes into Colossus's shirt pocket, from which Eve, with an assist from handsome, heroic, enviable Bryn Hale, had just a moment earlier escaped unnoticed. Phew! That's what it says here. Furious, because he believes his hostage is dead, Colossus vows to make the invading fleet pay for this effrontery. Unfortunately, the sudden cancellation of the book precluded a part two of the tale. What would have come next is anyone's guess. But if the beginning of the story is any indication, it would have been big.
The puns.
Oh, the puns. The puns get us every time. All right, we're moving on to the Silver Age. Oh, good Lord.
I don't know.
Oh, I remember this from last week. No, I looked at this last week and said, oh, this could be fun. Okay. Our Silver Age entry is an enemy of Wonder Woman. Any attempt to overcome centuries of ugly racial stereotypes created by Robert. Could be. Created by Robert Kaniger and Ross Andrew. Debuted in Wonder Woman Volume 1, number 157, DC Comics, October 1965. No relation to Egg Roll, General So, or Humpty Dumpty. The quote, the Americans don't know it, but I can destroy them without moving from this spot. The enemy, Egg Fool.
God. If you are one of the people who are easily offended, yeah, get ready, boys. Go ahead.
Hustle. Actually, they wrote this. Should have been, the Americans don't know it, but I can destroy them without moving from the spot. Hustle. Very good, Ray. Thank you. All right. Oh, Atto has joined us with Aaron and Mordecai. And Sheila Eglet. Very good, very good. Hold on, we must jump from our spot.
All right.
We must jump. Very good, Ashwal. Atto just got here. He's like, what the hell am I listening to? Ah, Rachel. Rachel Villains from Silver Age. DC Finest. here we go. After the end of World War II, villains representing the Axis powers began to dwindle in comics. Those wartime foes rapidly gave way to a new national boogeyman, Dirty Reds, along with the Soviet Union. China, in particular, was a popular stomping ground for all sorts of new, nefarious, no-goodniks. The atmosphere was convenient for repurposing the stereotypes and caricatures, that had previously been leveraged against the Japanese people. With mainland China now portrayed as a new threat to democracy, the same deplorable depictions once associated with Japan, buck teeth, yellow skin, weak eyes, and swapped L's and R's, were simply moved laterally toward the people of China. These offensive traits were never more evident, if only in terms of scale. Then, in the bizarre supervillain known as Egg Foo, colossal, but largely immobile, Egg Foo lived up to at least part of his name. He was an egg. A leering, mustachioed, giant, sentient egg who stood, or sat, or whatever it is that eggs do, larger than a 10-story office building. Despite his ludicrous appearance, the insidious Egg Foo poses a genuine danger to the world's democracies, at least according to Wonder Woman. That is, who introduces the villain? Readers, she says, the Oriental mastermind has not made an idle threat. He may look like an egghead, but he is a greater threat to the free world than an exploding sun. You think an exploding sun would be a threat to the whole world, but okay. Sporting a long, prehensile handlebar mustache, which he uses to trap and restrain his foes, and a lurid yellow countenance, Egg Foo's most egregious peccadillo may be his forced vaudevillian patois. Much of his dialogue is almost unreadable, and an exaggerated evil laugh punctuates his every utterance with a sound like a wheezing doorbell. Ah, they might as well just place a twigger against their own planes. Hee-ho! He says the Americans, a.k.a. Americans, chance of defeating him. To Egg Foo's credit, he accomplishes something no other supervillain had yet been able to do. He destroys Wonder Woman and her paramour, Steve Trevor, reducing them to ash. They get better by the end of the story, don't worry. Modern-day attempts to confront or obviate the racial stereotypes behind Egg Foo have met with varying degrees of success. It's probably for the best to permanently put to rest any variation on a lemon-yellow, egg-shaped ethnic caricature. Well, and that brings us to the modern age. Oh, good Lord. Okay. Get ready.
Oh, no.
This one is an enemy of a superhero created by a comic book writer. Okay. Debuted in a comic book. Additional blurb. I swear, this additional blurb. Humorous phrase. Quote, something said by the generic man. The villain? The generic man.
Okay.
Okay. The chaotic, contested. Hold on, my glasses are very foggy. Okay, the chaotic, contested burg of Delta City is a place that can use a little cleaning up. Crowded, dirty, and hectic, as any great city tends to be. It's also saddled with colorful criminals of an almost limitless variety. These are held in check only by the selfless actions of this superheroic heckler. John Doe, the generic man, looks upon the woes of Delta City and the actions of the heckler, specifically as a consequence of unchecked individuality. This problem is one he is uniquely qualified to solve because John Doe is completely generic. Depicted with a featureless pink head and hands jutting from an all-white suit, Doe expresses his intent and emotions through sans-serif type displayed on his face. Frown, and quote-unquote capital letter frown, when he's upset. Quote-unquote capital letters ponder, when he's concentrating. Quote-unquote capital letters glee, when he's delighted, and so on. Likewise, Doe's mere touch can translate his genericized quality to objects, people, and animals. A newspaper in his hands becomes a white rectangle bearing only the semi-bold word, quote-unquote, capital letters, headline. By means of this power, the reclusive generic man realizes he could, quote-unquote, save the city, though even his dialogue has a blank generic quality to it. Quote, I am unable to control my displeasure, considering the impact the heckler's example could have on Delta City, unquote. He says of the hero's rampant individuality. Realizing he can't touch every person in the city, Doe comes up with another tactic, taking a bath in the city reservoir. With his genericizing touch infecting the water supply, every living creature who comes in contact with it is replaced by an undetailed figure bearing the name of their identity. All capital letters, sheep, pedestrian, cat, and so forth. But soon, the vigilante Minx, Mob Trigger Man Kriegler, and Ratchet Jaw, and the heroic heckler, are bearing down on Doe's location, determined to preserve their own peculiar identities. They quickly collide in their efforts to stop the generic man from turning Delta City into a peaceful, delineated, and indistinguishable collection of labels. It's Minx who puts down Doe, lethally, despite the heckler's best efforts to intervene. All is not lost for Doe, however, as his pale, blank corpse lies on the grass, the word, quote-unquote, capital letters, dead, emblazoned across his chest, slowly transforms into, quote-unquote, capital letters, reincarnated. And somewhere, a doctor delivers a strange-looking baby, whose touch turns the obstetrician's green surgical gloves a featureless white. Dot, dot, dot.
Hey.
quote-unquote, capital letters, sigh. And that, my friends, is this week's entries from the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains, or the Tome from the Tomb.
All right.
There you go. Oh.
Two big guys and generic.
And generic.
Oh, one big guy, one big guy, and a generic.
Right. One big guy, a colossus guy, and a generic guy.
Now, and I was so tempted to go, I tell you, China. This is what happens when you bring China into comics. This is what happens. Look at
That's
this.
Right.
You just can't understand this. You know?
A colossus egg generic guy. That's
big
right.
Head with tiny hands.
Yeah, how about that? A big guy with tiny hands.
You know, just like Fred, according to Mindy Kaling.
That's right. Should we tell everybody the news about Saturday?
Oh, yeah, we should, yes.
So everybody shows up. Otherwise, we'll be sitting there going, why didn't anybody show up tonight?
Yeah, might help.
Today. Did we tell them on the show? All right. So, this Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Canadian Wilderness, the Argent Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Be there. Signing up for the monthly first time Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, before we start the races, we gotta have racers.
Well, I screwed that up. No. I'm trying to spell something and I totally spelled the wrong thing. There we go. Okay. So, wait, hold on.
We're holding.
Wait, no. I'm reading the Dawn radio chat.
All right.
Everything's we're talking about them. My hands are not tiny, and I am not an orange fruit, says Alto. So I was making fun of carrot juice, not carrot Bob. Wow. And don't forget, guys, we're still taking signups for the D&D group. We got three people so far. I thought we had four, but we only got three. And that's one of them is me, and I'm the DM.
Yeah.
We need more players.
Yep. And also, as we mentioned last week here, one of our DJs, Joe Daddy, has been hospitalized, and daughter Laura Muse has made a GoFundMe to help with the hospital bills. And there's a post over there on Champions, and I'll put into the Dawn Radio chat over on City of Heroes.
Old Man Bob said, Snooky, about the orange? Close.
They have raised now $3,045. So it's getting there. Huh?
How much do they need?
8,000.
They're getting there. They're getting there.
According to Mordecai, Gio is able to move with Joe Daddy. Is now able to move with a wheelchair for now.
Oh, that's good.
Mhm. But yeah, any help that you can give Joe Daddy, you know, he was there for us, entertaining us. Let's return the favor.
Yes, that's right.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had the book audio readings, which Mordecai then took over, and then for a while Tastes Like Chicken. We would not have had the moments of the Kaz and Grass show. And we remember those meeting of the minds.
I never heard those.
You never heard? Oh, you missed.
Can we get copies of those and play them maybe on Wednesday?
I don't know. You would have to ask Joe Daddy if he still has them. Any help for Joe Daddy would be greatly appreciated. All right. Now, if you want to talk reboots that were good, remember, I was waiting to see Night Court. I saw the first two episodes.
I missed the last half of the second one.
Well,
so what did you think of both of them? Well, I recorded it, so I could just watch.
Yeah. Now, Melissa Rauch, who plays Abby Stone, is also the executive producer.
Right.
And so there's going to be, you know, whatever she wants, that's what she's going to get. We kind of knew that. But as for Dan Fielding, we got the smug Dan Fielding. We got the sarcastic Dan Fielding. Hasn't been enough time to see if we have still the lecherous Dan Fielding. Now, the first episode, they gave a major hint that he was with woman. They did not explain what happened to cause it to be a was yet.
Right. Something tragic happened, though. I get that feeling something tragic happened, so.
But we have not seen lecherous Dan Fielding come around yet.
It's only second episode.
Right.
Yeah, it's only the second episode, right. And they're going to go to one episode a week after this week. So we'll have to wait and see. So
now, in fairness, they are trying to build up the other three, the other characters. I mean, Abby Stone is going to be Abby Stone. Dan Fielding, enough said. Actually, I would say four, because now they're building up the new a prosecutor. They're building up the new court clerk.
Right.
I really like what they're doing with the new bailiff. I do see a combination of Bull and Roz combined with Lucretia's character. The fourth one, I see the scene stealer, is the janitor. The janitor is going to be a scene stealer.
I thought that was great. Oh, you getting rid of the birds? On our budget? No, he's just feeding them. Oh, don't interrupt when he's feeding them.
He's going to be the scene stealer. You watch. If he does not, if they get a second season and he doesn't get name billing, that's robbery. That is highway robbery.
Well, maybe he'll get it halfway through the season. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, first episode, let's bring back the Stone with the Fielding team up. The second one, you saw the buildup of the court clerk and a bit of Lucretia playing Gergs as the bailiff. And you definitely saw the janitor. I'm now waiting to see what they do with the new prosecutor. You will note I'm starting to get the name. Once you start picking up the names, then you know it's a favorite.
Oh. Okay, this is weird. According to this IMDb, there's like 9 episodes, but this is how they're numbered: 1 through 6, and then 9 through 15. It goes 1 through 6, 9, 13, 15.
In other words, they lost a few episodes.
Yeah, so I don't know if they have actually 15 episodes planned or what, but.
So we get 9 the first.
Oh shit! We only have 90 seconds left. Hold on. Episode 1 got a 6.5, 2 got a 6.7. So,
All right.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you, it would just be me and Mad Viking talking about all this stuff by ourselves anyway. Don't forget, Saturday, 2 p.m., join us in the Canadian wilderness by the RG Sanctuary. The opening is, it's right by a hospital. What is that thing called? Respawn zone. There's a respawn area. We'll be there. And we'll have sign-ups. Maybe if we get enough people early enough, we'll do a couple of races just for shits and giggles. But that'll be the first one. We'll have a sign-up there. And if you're interested in the D&D thing, talk to us that day. Right now it's me, Alto, Mad Viking. We start our characters, and we'll probably do a zero session. We'll talk about our characters. We're going to do in Greyhawk, which is cool. Waits for a 3-minute warning to come in. Wait, you're going to decimate me and Polga. Man, Polga, what do we do?
Three minute warning from the attitude error.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, guess what? You don't have 3 minutes. You got 30 seconds. Meh. You can't decimate us. Meh. And I'm dressed like The Undertaker.
All right. So, to save time, don't watch Velma and say goodnight, Gracie.
Yes. Goodnight, Gracie, and watch Mystery Incorporated on HBO Max. It's a way better show. Trust me on this one. Have a good night, everybody, and don't forget Bunny Night, Wednesday night, and tune in for the Greatest Generation podcast. Dawn Radio, Race of Dawn. Okay. I think we're done.
Okay.
You can do Greatest Generation? Talk to you later. Great show. I'll talk to you later. Have a good night. Okay.
Bye.
Good night. And we are...